up, FA Nation? It's Matt Sells here. I'm obviously leading off this podcast, so what does that mean? It means we get in the guest chair Edward Rouse. He's back joining us for the start of the playoffs. So how's it going there, Rouse?
Well, well, well. My blood pressure is still really high from Sunday afternoon. that was interesting over this last weekend. Let me just tell you that. And I mean, no words. I mean, I was like during the whole rain break, which is kind of bizarre to see all the trucks leaving of the cars that are out.
Right. Yeah, like 18 people packed up and left.
Who's left in this? But good old Ryan Blaney and his duct taped car somehow managed to stay out of everything by crashing early and qualify for the playoffs. So I was pretty happy with that. There was a little bit of pacing going on at the end and some celebrating at the end. And I do like Truex a lot. And I felt kind of bad because I do like him as a person and a racer. But it was exciting. It was interesting. It was rainy. It was like NASCAR got what they wanted with having Daytona as the last race of the regular season before the playoffs, let me tell you.
Yep. I will say I am glad that they finished it and they made it come down to the last 22 actual green flag laps of the regular season and made Austin Dillon hold on to that lead. Crazy 21 laps. Kudos to Tyler Reddick for pushing his current teammate to the win. You know, obviously Reddick is leaving for 23-11, likely in 2024. Maybe they buy him out and he goes there in 2023 because there might be a seat open. We'll touch on that in a minute. But now the playoffs start with Darlington. And it's been a little bit since we've raced Darlington, so we'll talk about the track a little bit here. It's got about 16 different nicknames. It's known as the track too tough to tame, the lady in black, cars get Darlington stripes. It's known as the egg, you know, the track in the South Carolina swampland.
The not quite 1.5 mile egg?
Yeah, there you go. It's 1.33 miles. Per lap, and it is egg-shaped. So, you know, one end of it is a tighter radius than the other because of a pond that they couldn't move when they built the track that no longer exists, and they didn't change the track shape, which is kind of cool. It is a very high tire wear track. It's right up there with Fontana and what Atlanta used to be. And to a degree, like Homestead kind of fits this mold too. So we will see tire strategy play a role here. You will have to make the tires last if you want to carry speed. And there's been multiple groups of racing here over the last couple years. So that should be fun. It also is a place where tensions can get very, very high. If you can't pass somebody, sometimes it's easier to just to move them, like Joey Logano did back in May when he ran over William Byron with two laps to go. So it's kind of a driver's track. A driver that can handle the car and keep the car up front has a pretty good shot at winning here. So it's a very interesting one for DFS.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, I'm just looking at the May race right now and the starting position versus the final. And there's very interesting. Three of the top five guys started 29th or worse in the race, which is interesting. And just going down the list here, I know there was quite a few accidents, but it's gonna be a week where you could pay down to get two pay down guys, maybe to get some top guys in. From what I'm seeing,
yeah, it's the pricing has come out. And it's very, very interesting in how they're pricing this field. There is some rain in the forecast on Saturday.
Of course there is.
So I'm desperately hoping that either avoids the track or, you know, just avoids practice and qualifying, because I would hate for the first playoff race, the field to be set by formula, because that would automatically put the playoff guys up front, and I don't think anybody really wants to see that. I want to see how they actually qualify and then, you know, make judgments on off of that. So
agreed.
Sunday looks clean, which is good. It is a late Sunday evening race. It's 6 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. So, you know, don't go ask Bob Pockrass if they have lights. They do. Obviously, they do. They're not running it that late every if they week. Don't.
Every week. Do they have lights?
Yeah, exactly. It is the Southern 500, so it's a crown jewel race. It's also 100 miles longer than the Goodyear 400 that was there earlier this year. So, you know, that's going to add another level to this, too, in terms of strategy and not, like, we can't really just take what we saw in May and say, well, that's the only race in a next-gen car on this track. So let's just use that. What I would suggest is you go back and you look at what happened in 2016, 2017, and 2018, and then again 2019. You know, 2020 and 2021 also had kind of low downforce, high horsepower packages. I'd be careful of the back-to-back races in 2020 because they restarted the season at Darlington during COVID, and there was no qualifying, so they were all set by formulas. And the second of those races, they inverted the top 20. So I really wouldn't look at that race at all, or what have you. It was also fairly short. I would go back and look at those tracks if we're prepping for this race.
Yeah, it's probably a smart idea to go back longer than May.
yes.
although May was an interesting race. But, yeah, I mean, I'm with you there. History for some of these guys, I'm looking through it right now, that I was high on before we started talking before this. I'm kind of going down on them a little bit now. but one guy in particular. But, yeah. I'm with you. Like, it's a tricky course, and like you said, passing is not a thing up until this last race in May, really, that I'm looking at. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, one thing, though, I will compliment the next-gen car on is that the tracks that have the high tire wear seem to be ones where passing happens. If we flash back to Fontana,
yeah,
high tire wear track, a lot of passing. That was a fantastic race. Darlington, yes, there were accidents, but you could also pass and make moves and pick lines and whatnot. There was not a lot of passing at Gateway. That would be the other track that's basically this same size. There was a decent amount of passing at Nashville, though, which does kind of compare because it's a decently high tire wear track. Yeah. Surface is a little different, but
real quick though, okay, we're at the playoffs. What's your, like, overall impression of the next-gen car? I think it's good. Like, I think it's good for NASCAR, and I've actually enjoyed it this year. I think the quality of racing, all the different winners, I feel like a lot of the races were closer than they have been in the past. And, like, it was just a good year. I like it, and I think it's going in the right direction.
I would say I generally like it. There are a couple of places that it can improve. One, it doesn't seem to do great at short tracks right now. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of passing at short tracks. Then again, it's not like it's easy to pass at Martinsville to begin with, right? Yeah. It's not like everybody starting 25th is going to move up at Martinsville. That's never the case and basically never has been. We'll see what it actually looks like on Bristol concrete because obviously...
The dirt.
Saw it on Bristol dirt. That was crazy. That's basically, by the way, that move that Chase Briscoe made that knocked Tyler Reddick out at the end of the Bristol dirt race and allowed Kyle Busch to win is the only reason Kyle Busch is in the playoffs.
He wouldn't have qualified on points. You're right. Yeah.
He wouldn't have qualified on points, and that's his only win of the season. Wow. And Truex would have made it over.
Oh.
Kyle Busch. So
that would have made me happy too.
Also, if Martin Truex Jr. hadn't wasted like the final nine laps of Dover trying to get retaliation on Ross Chastain, he probably would have kept the four spots he lost and then would have made it over Ryan Blaney by a point. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of
what ifs.
Yeah. But getting back to the next-gen car, I would say it's, yes, on the intermediates, it's been fantastic, which is great because those used to be, now at Texas, it still sucks, but Texas sucks to begin with.
Yeah, that's just a general.
But, you know, I would say, look, the plate races have been the plate races. That's really not going to change.
Nothing changed there.
Yeah. That's what it is. The road racing, I thought it's been great in certain tracks. Like COTA, I thought was great.
Yeah.
I thought Watkins Glen was phenomenal. Sonoma was very hard to pass, but it usually is a little tricky to pass there because it's tight racing lines and whatnot. So overall, I would say it's moving in the right direction. I like the number of winners we've had this year. And then, you know, there's some safety concerns for sure, but they'll sort those out. Overall, though, it's been a very good product. There's been a whole lot of high percentage yes races on the Jeff Gluck poll every week for whatever we want to count that for. although apparently Daytona sucked last week, according to that poll. It was like one of the worst plate races ever in the history of that poll for some reason. I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. But
who won that race, the rain or Austin Dillon?
I would say Austin Dillon. I would say USA Network won it because now the reality star got a win.
Oh, gosh. That drove me crazy in between that rain delay when they kept on showing his wife and, like, she was celebrating. Like, they had won.
She was doing a rain dance.
Oh, come on. She
wanted the rain to keep coming so that her hubby didn't have to go back out there.
It was annoying. And the only reason they did it because of the show. They didn't have the show. They wouldn't be eye on her in between every commercial break and showing him on alternative. What's alternate victory lane?
What? Oh, it's inside.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just sitting there.
It's like basically like essentially the media center, basically. And they go there if there's weather or like Justin Haley, I think, got awarded the win in the garage area in 2019. So let's turn our attention to Darlington. There was some interesting news that came out today. For those of you that haven't seen it, it involves Kurt Busch and the 45 car. And so in an interesting twist, obviously we know that Kurt Busch gave up his spot in the playoffs because he didn't feel he would be ready to compete. So that's why there was two spots open going into Daytona. However, the owner playoffs, the 45 car still made it because it qualified for the playoffs and the waiver doesn't affect that. It only affects the driver. So because the 45 is in the playoffs on the owner standings, and there's money involved in that with point standings and whatnot, they are swapping Bubba Wallace from the 23 to the 45 because they want a more veteran driver to have a better shot at accruing points for the 45 car team. And that means that Ty Gibbs, who will continue to fill in for Kurt Busch for as long as he's out, will go to the 23. And then once Kurt Busch comes back, hopefully he comes back this year, he will then race in the 23. All of the sponsors from the 23 are going to the 45 and vice versa. Bubba Wallace gets to keep his crew chief and go to the 45. And the crew chief of the 45 now goes to the 23. But I believe the pit crews are staying with their original cars. So Bubba Wallace now gets the 45 pit crew. And Ty Gibbs, when he fills in, will get Bubba Wallace's pit crew. So,
why don't they just save everyone time and just take some spray paint and cross out the number and just put the
it's basically what they're doing because the cars are the same. They're just going to wrap them differently. But it will have a different driver on the, you know. So if you're looking at the 23 and you're wondering where the heck Bubba Wallace is, he's in the 45. So my daughter, who is a big Bubba Wallace fan, I'm going to have to explain this to her. So she's. She doesn't get very confused. Where's my Bubba? Like, he's out there. He's just in a different car. And DraftKings has Ty Gibbs listed as out this week. I don't know that to be true. I believe that the plan is that he will still be racing this week, as far as I'm aware. I will double check the entry list right now.
I believe that's what Pakra said.
Yeah, it's entirely possible that, well, they technically list Kurt Busch on the entry list.
They do.
But I don't.
No, there it is right there. Car number 23, NASCAR qualifying, right there. Right there. Ty Gibbs in the 23 car.
Yeah, because they had on the entry list, it lists Kurt Busch as 45.
Nope, he's going to be in the 23, officially.
Okay, so that makes a lot more sense. So you can disregard, the fact that it says Ty Gibbs is out, because he's not. He's in the 23 car this week, and Bubba will be in the 45 car this week for when we're watching qualifying and practice. So yep, that's the main news that came out this week. So with that, how about we start breaking down these drivers there?
Yeah, so is this the end of Kurt Busch real quick?
It might be, right? Because here's the thing. If you've announced that Bubba Wallace is taking the 45 car for the rest of the playoffs because you want a veteran driver, that to me means that you know that Kurt Busch isn't coming back, right? Because you would hold his car and you wouldn't care what the owner points are. Unless they want him to come back and not feel pressure to have to perform and produce high points paying races because of what's attached to the owner standings. Right? You want a guy. It's like when a closer comes back in baseball and he's coming off of Tommy John. You don't go stick him right back in the ninth inning. You stick him in like the seventh inning, so it's not a high leverage situation, right?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yep.
So I guess there's a chance, but look, he's 45. I don't know. I have a sneaking suspicion that they're going to replace one Busch with another Busch. I think Kyle moves to that car next year.
That makes sense.
And becomes Denny's employee instead of teammate.
That'll be fun.
But Toyota gets to keep him. He technically gets away from Gibbs. He gets to work with Michael Jordan. And then he'll take over for his brother. And that then also bides time for Tyler Reddick to stay at RCR. Unless, of course, RCR buys him out and forces 2311's hand early, which I don't know why you would do that.
Wow. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, and I see all these pictures he's posting, too. Like, one of them, he's just sitting on a bench looking at the water. Like, I can't drive, but I'm, like, contemplate. Like, it's just, yeah, it's...
He went to the Cubs game a couple of times, I've seen.
Yeah, it's favorite game. Everything points that he's done. I mean, he's had a great career. It's not like he's...
Yeah, he's won a championship.
It's time. Like, it just seems like it. So, yeah. I mean,
also, with the personal stuff he's going through, it might be time to, like, you know...
Oh, yeah.
kind of focus on that and kind of recenter stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the mind of Kurt Busch nowadays.
Yeah. So, with that, let me ask you this. Who is the driver you are most excited to pay up for this week?
We're just going to skip Xfinity, right? We're not going to do Xfinity?
No, we're not talking about Xfinity. Yeah. Dan is traveling for work. He will be back in time to do the Xfinity playbook, so he will have you covered for that race.
Just so you know, Hamlin is not in Xfinity.
Correct.
It's Hamlin listed, but he's not.
I think Christopher Bell is in that ride this week for Xfinity. Hamlin's still a little sore from Sunday's accident. So,
all right. Well,
who are you paying up for starting 10K and above?
Chase Elliott. I mean, why isn't he not the most expensive driver on this list? Why is Kyle Larson the most expensive driver?
Kyle Larson, statistically speaking, is better here than anybody else.
Yeah, but I look at who's been better all year, and that's Chase Elliott. At 10-7, I mean, he's who I'm paying up for. He'll probably be high-owned, but, I mean, and look at him in May. I mean, he started in the 30s and was in the top five. Chase Elliott. I mean,
yeah. Really
no explanation except for he's the points leader. He's been hot when he's not wrecked out. He's all year, and there's no reason not to pay up for him to create value at 10-7 instead of 11-4 for Larson.
Okay. Let me play devil's advocate, and I'll take I'll take Kyle Larson here. Over the last six races at Darlington, not including the second race in 2020, which was inverted and whatnot. Okay. Over those last six races, Kyle Larson has the fourth best average finish of anybody, and that's after he finished 36th in May because his engine failed. The other three finishes in those four races he's run, second, second, second.
Okay. I mean, that's why he's paid up, right?
Or right. priced up. He Sorry. Also started second in May, which means he had speed there because he actually qualified second, which, by the way, he also qualified second like two other times and started third a fourth time. So he's always got speed here. And I saw a stat this morning. I can't remember the span, but I think it's basically if you take out the major incidents of races, right? So we're not counting caution laps led. Kyle Larson has led 34.1% of laps over, I think, the last six races at Darlington.
Okay, well, hear me out on this. Let's say it's coming down, five laps to go. He's in second. Chase Elliott's in first. Half a second behind him. What does he do?
Larson will get him back.
I don't know. After what happened a couple weeks ago. But
he's done it twice this year. It wasn't just Watkins Glen. He ran him over at Fontana, too.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, price-wise, if you have the extra, $700?
I mean, sure, it makes things tight. It does. Yeah. There's no denying that.
There are some drivers I really like, and that are 6-5 and below that you could get two of those mixed with Larson would be nice. Elliott Larson stack. So it's not the end of the world, but Elliott's my favorite because what have you done for me lately? Larson doesn't win that race if he doesn't take out Elliott, and Elliott's been a stud for the last 2 months.
Now here's my question: if we're talking, Hendrick stacks, I would go Larson Byron. Byron's $8,900.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good price for him.
And Byron has been pretty good here, historically speaking. He also, by the way, should have won in May, except for the fact that Joey Logano ran him over with two laps. Like, literally just put him in the wall with two laps to go. Didn't attempt to pass him. Didn't do anything.
I like it. At $8,900, like I said, that's a great price for him, too. So
Byron also led laps at Fontana earlier this year. Until he got caught up with Tyler Reddick and a tire issue. Byron's looking a little bit for that mojo, but he's basically had the same speed in that car as Larson and Elliott, and yet he's 8,900.
Hey, I like it. There you go. And I mean, where the ownership on Byron will be probably low, right? I mean,
I think everybody thinks he's the sneaky play of the week, but I don't think he actually is the sneaky play of the week.
Okay.
I think I'm going to guess that I want to say the second highest owned Hendrick guy, but I don't know that to be true. He might be third.
Interesting. Okay. Because
I don't know that there's a scenario in which he's ahead of either Larson or Elliott. He might be close to Larson because people want the savings.
Yeah,
I think Bowman is a distant fourth in this conversation.
Yeah. I think Bowman thinks he's a distant fourth in this conversation. He is talking about not looking good lately. Wow. I don't know. What do you do with Bowman there? 8,200.
I don't know, man. This has been an okay track for him, but not great. And the last four races here, he's gotten a worse finish every single time. So four races ago, he finished sixth.
So there's a trend. Okay.
Yeah, it's going in the wrong direction.
Okay.
He finished 6th 4 races ago, 17th 3 races ago, 26th 2 races ago, and the last race was 29th.
Oh, so I mean, she's got to get like 34th this time.
That's not the trend you want if
he crashes out first and gets last. I'm gonna laugh now that you said that. I was like, well, the trend can't go anywhere from here, right? It's
like, I mean, then again, I am known for telling you like to fade this guy, and then I think 2 years ago my fade of the week wound up winning. It was Kurt Busch at Vegas. I told people to fade him because he historically sucked at Vegas, his home track, and then he went out and won like in dominating fashion.
Oh, yeah.
So I stopped telling people to fade people like the next week.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us.
Yeah. So I want you to talk a bit about why you're going to play Ryan Blaney, and then I'm going to tell people why I'm not so sold on him.
Well, I mean, the reason is because I play Ryan Blaney every week, and I also bet on him every week to win. And as if anyone has known, my betting for NASCAR this year has not been good because the man has just not won. And
well, he did. It was the All-Star race, the race you couldn't bet on.
That is also correct. the only person that won that race was not the viewer, not anybody except for Ryan Blaney and maybe his Hooters girlfriend. But that's a different story.
Well, his bank account had a pretty good
night. Exactly, his bank account, yeah. But, I mean, I'll throw him in some lineups because, you know, doing the research like we were talking about earlier, he hasn't – that's what we were talking about at the beginning, spoiler alert. He hasn't been great here, and but he's been better at the, I guess if you want to bunny quote, mile and a half courses this year with the next-gen car. I know he came in, what, 17th at their qualifying 7th earlier this year. So I think for low-owned for a GPP, I think he's going to be lower-owned, especially after last week when he was highly owned because of everyone thought, you know, playoff race, and he's been a stud at the Super Speedways. I'm taking him in GPPs. That's why I'm playing him, only because I want that ownership difference this week. But I know it'll probably fail me, like my betting for him all year. Cry face.
I mean, if I'm playing like 15 lineups, I'll probably put him in one. Because my main problem is the price. $9,200 is pretty steep. It means to hit 5X, which, yes, we're talking about 5X values this week because it's basically an intermediate and you need 5X from a guy to equal the value you should be getting from him. At $9,200 on DK, 5X is 46 points.
Duh.
So...
Ah, you make it sound only, impossible.
I mean, he's done it, right? It's definitely possible. He did it in Michigan. 70.
Yeah, it's.
He did it in Michigan 4 races ago. Okay, great.
He's either going to put up 70 or 17. That's pretty much how this race is going to go.
He did it at Nashville, which is kind of a track that could count towards Darlington a little bit. He did do it at Gateway. So there's a little bit of hope, right? But the only issue is that Ryan Blaney, this is historically his worst track. He's got one top 10 in like 11 career races here.
Double sad face.
It's not great, to be honest. It's not great, Bob, as the saying goes.
Put him in your GPP lineups.
But he just eked out into the playoffs, right? So he could have some pressure on him to want to show that he should be here.
He's in the top 8 of points though in playoffs. Like,
he is in the
playoffs, so, and all of a sudden jumped from 16th to 7th because it's silly.
Right. Silly. So that's my only other thing is like there's not actually pressure on him this week.
Nah.
Because he's 8th in points. So he can go, okay, this track sucks for me. Great. We've got Bristol. I'm pretty good at Bristol. And then we've got, there's another short track, right? Isn't it Martinsville?
I think it's Martinsville.
No, Martinsville is the second to last.
That's the second round.
Let me double check what it actually ends on, because they've shuffled it every year. So I'm going to double check.
For this round? For this round?
Yeah.
Next race is Kansas.
Oh, Kansas, which he's pretty good at. Kansas. Yeah,
and then Bristol.
And then Bristol, which he's also pretty good at. So he's got two tracks he could do pretty well at and just throw Darlington away. So I don't have that much interest in playing Ryan Blaney this week. I'm sorry there. But
No, I agree. That's why I'm throwing him some GPP lineups, I think everyone else will be on the same type of setup too. And I just like the low ownership this week. And but I mean, I'm not going to put him in, you know, like if I'm playing 15, which I will, three. That's all I'm saying. You say one, fair. I say three. I want to put him at half, but
yeah.
Yeah.
So there are some very interesting prices as we go. I really don't understand why Kevin Harvick is still $8,500.
I have no idea.
I literally can't figure this out. The guy has just been great of late. Yeah, he had a terrible Daytona. Who didn't?
Well, he tried to split the gap and missed.
Right.
If he would have won. Yeah.
If he makes it through, he's deemed being the winner at the time. And if it doesn't go green, he wins the race. If it goes green, who knows? Because Austin Dillon was able to hold it off for 20.
I think I saw a meme that it was a slow motion of him trying to hit that gap. And at first, it looks like he's clear, right?
Right.
And the car comes and knocks him in. And then it's just a Matumbo. No, no, no. Right after.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's rough sauce.
But so not only has the SHR crew found speed of late, right? And Harvick's been the poster child of this. But it's been a decade, literally a decade, since Kevin Harvick has finished outside of the top 10 at Darlington.
Wow. Yeah.
Most of those are top six finishes, including.
And in May, he started like 29th or 30th,
finished
right?
Finished fourth.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he started 35th and finished fourth.
That price is dumb. He may be high owned, but for good reason. Wow.
It was 8,800 back in May, started 35th and finished fourth. And now he's 8,500. Two wins later.
Yeah, I'm liking what you're putting down there, Sells.
He's going to be a very popular play because everybody knows that Kevin Harvick at... and by the way, you should check out the latest, the brand new video series we have called The Starting Grid, where I basically preview early betting lines and how we can use that for DFS. You can still get plus money on a top five for Kevin Harvick this week. At plus 200 on DraftKings.
No way. Really?
Yeah.
I'm going on there right now.
As of this morning, that was still the case. Let me see.
For
if
a top move. Five?
Plus for a top five.
Oh, man. Dude, go watch the starting grid, because that is awesome.
Now, if you're really feeling risky, you could do like a minus 140 for a top 10. Like, it's
you might,
not
if you're doing top
return.
10, if you're doing top 10 at minus one, you might as well go for them five. Come
on. Yeah, he's going off at 2-1, which is plus 200 on DK right now for a top
goodness five gracious. That is the, what, the lock of the week, right, on the starting grid? Jeez.
Yeah, he's 5-7, which is minus 140 for a top 10.
Top 10.
And by the way, Sportsbooks got smart, and they're not allowing you to parlay top 10 finish bets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, FanDuel wouldn't let people parlay top 10 finishes for Darlington. I saw it. Because somebody used a $13 free bet and turned it into $1 million last week.
By parlaying like five of the top 10 people in Daytona.
Yeah, it was like BJ McLeod, Cody Ware, Landon Castle.
Yeah, then stack the back on your parlay, baby. I love it. All right.
Literally, the winning FanDuel DFS lineup started. Everybody starting like 34th, 35th, 36th, 37th.
Stack the back on the parlay and win $1 million. That's great.
Yeah, literally on a free bet.
On a free bet. Oh, man.
Or at least partial free bet. It was like 13 and a half bucks turned into $1 million, and it said a free bet use. So I don't know if it was like.
That is a lot of fun. That's cool.
And somebody
kudos.
Else.
Shout out to him. Kudos.
Did a three-leg parlay with three of those guys and turned $11 into like 78 grand, almost 79 grand. So, yeah. FanDuel got wise, and you can no longer parlay top 10 bets on FanDuel. Also, the odds for top 10s this week, not nearly as generous as they are at Daytona.
Yeah. I'd imagine. But,
but you know, turning our attention here a little bit more towards the midfield. I am very intrigued by Austin Dillon at
7,800. Everyone's gonna be on him, man, just because he won last week and you know the hot name. For GPPs, I probably won't play him. I just think he's going to be too highly owned. I think for a cash, you're safe with him.
Well, so to me, it's going to come down to where he qualifies.
Yeah, oh, definitely, because he has not been good recently. Like,
yeah, he has certainly struggled. But here's the thing: if people don't really, if you just go, "Oh, Austin Dillon just backed his way in because he won Daytona," okay, fair, because he wasn't anywhere close to the points, you know, without winning. Here's the thing, though. If you take the last six races at Darlington, not including the inverted one in 2020, you want to guess who the top three average finish guys are in the field?
I'm going to guess Austin Dillon's in there.
Yeah, Kevin Harvick at 3.5.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, right? Makes sense. Joey Logano at 9.5.
Makes sense.
Only because he has a win and then a top three, like four races ago. And then Austin Dillon is third.
Wow.
At 9.7. He's even better than Kyle Larson, who I was waxing poetic about earlier.
Wow.
Larson has had, or Austin Dillon has had back-to-back top tens at Darlington, including ninth earlier this year. Yeah, he also moved up very nicely at Fontana. He moved up well at Gateway, moved up well at Nashville. So, you know, there's kind of some momentum here for him. And yes, I'm sure a lot of people are going to go, "Oh, hey, I'm going to play this guy because he won last week and he's got a TV show." And
not sexually hot, but he's hot from racing because he won last week. Yes.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, if it's like Martinsville, maybe his ass is hot because his ass got overheated. But yeah.
I mean, drum roll.
You know, if people just look back and go, "Well, why would I play a guy who hasn't finished better than 13th in the last five races except for Daytona's crapshoot?" Okay, you have a point, but I'm going based off of this guy is really good at Darlington.
Like, I mean, and 7,800 is not a bad price to pay for him. It's probably higher than it has been. But I don't know.
He got an $800 bump since Daytona because he was $7,000 at Daytona.
Yeah, and then he was 6,500 at the. Well, that makes sense. 72, 73.
Now, I will say
this is the highest he's been.
Back in May, he was 8,500 at Darlington back in May.
Yeah, and this is the highest salary he's been since Darlington. Interesting.
Yeah, pretty much. The Coke 600, he was 8,200, but that's the benchmark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there it is. Yep. Coke, yeah. And then after that, it just went to the 6,900.
Yeah.
Nice.
But, I mean, he put up 41 points at Darlington. He started 14th and finished 9th.
All right. Okay. I'm sure he'll be in the playbook. Everyone read the playbook. Shout out to the playbook.
Yeah, he'll be there. You know, I'm not going to talk about this much and then leave him out of there. So I guess my question is, at this point, who are you diving into?
Like low-key or like the middle pack?
Kind of. I mean, a little bit of both.
All right, there's some let's talk about the playoff drivers who are I mean, is Austin Dillon the lowest price playoff driver? Yes, he is. So Austin Dillon is also the lowest price playoff driver. Daniel Suarez right above him at 8,000 is the second highest, and then Bowman, then Harvick. Suarez, everyone kind of forgot about him, right? He had a really good run earlier this year where he was just like crushing, and he just kind of had a downfall. Look, yeah, there's his run right there. Wow. Ooh, wow. He had a really great run, and then he had some stinkers. And then I kind of like Suarez, this sneaky GPP. I'm not quite sure what his history is besides May here. But as a playoff driver in that range of Austin Dillon, I kind of like – and plus his salary dropped really crazy. Yeah.
Now, I will say in the last six races – you know, same subset we've been using. Suarez has been okay in terms of average finish at 17.8. However, the last four races, he's gotten better. 25th, 23rd,
13th, hey, there's a trend.
And then 10th. So that's the trend we want to hop on. Yeah, not the trend from Bowman that goes in the opposite direction.
What's their, like $200 apart, by the way? Bowman's 82 and he's 8,000. So Right. Save the 200 and give Suarez a try this week at a playoffs. He's going to be racing because, you know, he's in probably the lower end of points. So he needs either a win or to get in on points. So he's going to be at 8,000. I think he's a must play GPP play. I'm getting more and more excited as we talk about him, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, he was 7,800 back in May here. He started 20th and finished 10th with 5 fastest laps.
There you go.
So, and while everybody's focusing on his teammate and how many times he's going to get wrecked out in the playoffs, Suarez doesn't have beef with anybody. In fact, he's the most well-liked driver in the garage area, I think.
Don't you miss the last 2 years where you would just automatically play Suarez every week in your GPPs because he was $6,000?
Yeah, right? Look what some quality equipment does to his price tag.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, that's kind of my guy there. Going lower, I have some guys that I like. I'm always a Todd Father fan. I know Dan is as well. Todd had a great finish here in May. Fourth lowest price at 5,300 seems robbery to me.
He Todd was, Father. By the way, that same price back in May, and he put up 41 points.
Yeah, seems like he's going to be a high-owned, low-end guy. But you have to play him at that. If you want the Larson, if you want the Elliotts, you got to put Todd Father in there at that price. And then I think you agree with that, right? That's a great sneaky, that's robbery. But I also like somebody who may impress well, that's Haley. He's a little bit more expensive at 62, but you can do a Haley and Gillian in your lineup and take two of those spots. And you have a lot to work with those final four spots in your DK lineups. That's kind of the approach I'll probably take on a lot of my lineups this weekend.
Yeah, and Haley broke out here in May and finished third, kind of out of nowhere, but that car has been sneaky quick.
Yeah.
At certain times this season. So if you pick the right spot for him, you can get a pretty good outcome from him. It had okay speed at Nashville, not great. Got a top 14 at Gateway at $6,000. And then, he ran well here, obviously. Started 29th, finished third, 2 fastest laps for 68 points at $5,900 back in May. And then Fontana, started 35th, finished 23rd, 31 points. He was $7,900.
Ooh, wow.
At that point, and then fell off a pretty steep cliff the following week.
I'd say
6,100.
That's insane. I didn't even realize that. Wow.
But yeah, he had
put up 38 points that week too.
Yeah, he had a run in there in like March where he just knocked off 4 straight top 17 finishes. Wow. He could be sneaky. You know, if people are looking at recency, he hasn't been great at moving up substantially recently, but there hasn't necessarily been tracks that are colleagues' strong suit of late. So I would agree with that being a sneaky pick. I think Eric Almirola is not getting a lot of attention.
That's cheap, man. I was just looking at that too. He's been going down his salary for a while, but that's
He's $6,400. Here back in May, he was 7,500, finished 11th. He started 12th, finished 11th. Not a ton of upside there, but 33 points. I mean, it's $6,400 if he puts up 33 points. You basically got 5x value out of him.
Yeah. Right?
The only reason he missed back in May was he's $7,500. So he's done quite well at these style of tracks this year. Fontana started 31st. Finished 6th. He then moved up again at Vegas. This doesn't necessarily compare that well to Vegas, but he did move up there. He had a pretty good race here in May. And then you get to, he held serve at Gateway, started 8th, finished 5th, 4 fastest laps. And then Nashville was kind of the only letdown there. Finished 17th after starting 11th. But, It's kind of important to look at the guys that are not in the playoffs because a lot of people this time of year just focus on the drivers that are in the playoffs, and you're never going to be able to build a lineup Chess playoff guys, unless maybe on FanDuel you can. But DraftKings you can't. So you're going to have to get sneaky with who you're putting in here. And Almirola has done pretty well here of late and moved up well at these style of tracks this year. So that's kind of a lower tier guy that I'm looking at.
Here you go. Here's another one right above him. I'm going to do everybody a favor on this guy. I'm going to do all of you guys a favor listening right now just for you. I am not going to play this guy this week in any lineup because when I don't play him, he puts up 50 plus. When I do play him, he wrecks and gets the hell out of there. I'm talking about Recce Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I'm not going to play him just for all of you because I am the anti-Ricky. When I play him, he crashes. When I don't, he puts up 50 and drives me crazy. And so I'm not playing him just for you guys out there. So you take that as you would.
There you go. He did run well here in May, so I'm guessing Rouse didn't play him.
I did not know.
Started 26th, finished 8th. Pretty good day from Mr. Ricky. Did pretty well at Fontana, too. Pulled out a top 10 at Fontana.
You're so welcome, everybody.
You know, it's not much to go on, but if we're talking about deep dives, we don't necessarily need much to go on. You kind of just play them and then cross your fingers that it pays off for you. So
I know we're going a little long, but I want to ask you one more thing before we go, because now we're going long for everyone. But when the playoffs come, and you just made a really good point about, you know, you can't get all the playoff drivers in a stack or anything like that. Is this a better time than it is early in the year to stack teammates that aren't in the playoffs with teammates that are in the playoffs, because maybe they're working together to help that one player that's in the playoffs get further along? Is that a strategy you could use more in the playoffs than so, you know, in May?
That's a very good question. I think it depends on the track. Because some tracks, there's not a whole lot that guys can do to help out. Obviously, plate tracks are the number one where they can just team up and help each other. Like Talladega a few years ago when SHR just flat ran away with it. There was just the four of them out front, like in their own personal little race. But at a track like Darlington, I mean, they could help, I guess.
Then again, looking at it, it seems like all the big teams, everybody on their team is in the playoffs except for Truex, who's priced high. So maybe that's not a good.
Yeah, my only.
But you got Harrison Burton's out there, who's kind of a Penske. You got like the kind of, you know, those type of drivers. Keselowski, I don't know. It's just maybe not. I don't know.
Well, my only hesitation is like at a track like Darlington, I'm not sure. Like, I guess you could hold somebody up, or you could try to pull a Denny at Gateway, right, and try to run Ross Chastain right off the track, and hold him up, and then tag team him with Chase Elliott, like it's WWE or something.
Your turn.
But you know, it's reasonable. I think the other way to look at that question is, does it make more sense? Because Dan always talks about leverage, right? He wants leverage over the field. So does it make more sense to focus on the guys on teams that aren't in the playoffs or that are lower in the standings? Like, circling back to Hendrick when we started. Like, if you want leverage on the field, Alex Bowman's to play.
Correct.
Because everybody's going to be on the other three guys who have shown way better speed. Right?
Okay. Yep.
So if you want leverage, it's Austin, Bowman.
Or in Penske, it would be Cindric, right? Because everyone's going to go Logano and Blaney, and everyone forgets about him kind of the same type of way.
Probably.
For a GPP.
Cindric won the Daytona 500 and then has kind of been so-so since. Like,
he's been pretty good lately, but that's...
Yeah. I mean, good lately, yes. He's gearing back into form. He did finish second on a road course, although that road course was crazy, and it's a road course.
Yeah. And he's also a good road course driver, yeah.
But, I mean, he did do well at Nashville. He did run okay. Gateway was weird because he started up front and then led laps, and then pit strategy just didn't work for him there. He ran okay at Darlington earlier this year. But, like, yeah, I mean, that's the way to think about it. Now, Penske might be a bad example this week because Blaney
is.
At this track.
I'm stacking the back of the playoffs qualifiers to see if I can put a lineup in right now.
There you go. I would stay away from Ross Chastain now that the playoffs have started.
Yeah, I haven't really been on.
He's just gonna get, as Kyle Larson put it, he's got a list 2 pages long of people that don't like him.
I'm gonna stack the back of the playoffs.
And he's just been terrible of late. Like his last top 10 was July at New Hampshire. And since then his best finish is 18th at Richmond. So not great there, Chastain.
Yeah, I'm kind of off of him too lately. It seems like he's taken this whole thing. Either I'm a villain or I'm not or whatever, and he's just been kind of not performing recently too. So I'm kind of off of him.
Yeah, I mean, and if you kind of look back at it, he's been up and down all season, Like nobody really paid attention because we were all blinded by the great fit. Like back in March, it was great because it was 89 points, 65 points, 64 points, 75 points. Then he had a 17-point day, then 69, then 9, then 65, then 84, then 9. Then, 43, then 5. Then 103, 45, 38, 45, 48. Like, you know what I mean? It's just been all over the place all season, and I don't think anybody really noticed until he just started wrecking out, like, the last 8 races. And now we're in the playoffs. Nobody's going to let him win a championship. Like, he's not making it out of the first round.
Okay. I know we got to go, but you got to check this out. So I just stacked in DraftKings the bottom 6 playoff standing drivers. Austin Dillon, Alex Bowman, Austin Cindric, Suarez, Briscoe, and Kyle Busch all in one lineup. Okay? $300 left over.
I don't mind it.
It fits, too, which is crazy.
It does fit. There are clearly guys in that lineup that I'm not 100% sold on this week. Briscoe might be one of them.
Yeah, but that's your only chance of getting all playoff drivers in, is that lineup right there, pretty much.
Probably.
Yeah.
He ran okay here earlier in the year. Not great. Kyle Busch is sneaky good here this week, I think. Yeah. I don't know that a lot of people are talking about him.
You know what? I just entered it for $15 in the engineer. There you go. Just for fun.
Okay. Well, have fun with that.
See, why not?
Think he's just had too much bad luck this year that people are just...
Stack the back of the playoff drivers.
There you go. See what happens. That's a strategy. I don't know if it's a good one. It is a
strategy. It's a strategy.
But I think that will do it for this week. So recapping, you should go check out the starting grid. It's up on YouTube for free. It's also on but it's definitely on the Fantasy Alarm YouTube channel. Those will come out weekly, either Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on how the schedule works and exactly the direction it goes for that week. And then we'll have the Xfinity playbook will be out. Dan will be doing that. I'm not 100% sure exactly when it'll come out, because it is a tight schedule for Xfinity this week. So my guess is it'll probably be out before practice and qualifying, and then he'll make adjustments. So you'll have to check back on Saturday. My cup playbook will be out Saturday following practice and qualifying, hopefully. That doesn't get rained out. The race is 6 p.m. Eastern Sunday night.
Yes, they have lights.
Yes, they do have lights. My PicksWise betting piece will be out on Friday. And then, we'll have Price Picks plays out on Sunday, example lineups Sunday. I will be in the Discord as much as I physically can be on Sunday. I know Sunday afternoon I have a family commitment for a couple hours. But other than that, we're rolling into the playoffs here. This is, and a note about bankroll, the contests are about to get much smaller because NFL starts. Mm-hmm. And NFL eats everything, right? So there's not going to be nearly as big of contest at this point.
And this will probably be your last chance at the engineer of the 100K. I think it drops down to like 50 next week, actually.
Yeah, because this is the weekend before the NFL starts.
Yeah.
Also, wishing those a happy and safe Labor Day weekend for however you're going to celebrate that. But and then F1's this weekend again. It's a very early time over there at Zandvoort. So, you know, Friday morning there's practice, FP1, FP2. And then there's qualifying in FP3 on Saturday. So we'll see how that goes. There's supposed to be rain in that forecast as well. So that should be fun. Always great when an F1 qualifying happens in rain. So I will have that playbook out Saturday as well. And that should pretty well cover it. Any final thoughts there, Rouse? Don't play his lineup.
Yeah, don't do what I did. I just wanted to see what would happen, and I want to be able to see how it works. Yeah, I have other lineups in that same tournament as well. But, you know, it's all for fun. I think it's going to be an interesting playoffs. They're closer in points than they have been in a while, between, what, like three and all the way to almost 14?
Yeah, second really, and 16th are separated by, like, 20 points or something.
Yep. Everyone's still in it.
Made up in one race.
This isn't a year where we have a Michael McDowell, which everybody knows is not going to make the first three races. So, I'm excited. And, you know, what a time of year. You got NASCAR playoffs, you got NFL, you got college football, you got basketball starting up in a couple of weeks. You got NHL starting. You got the baseball playoffs coming. I mean, what an exciting year. I'm excited. And I hope everyone wins some money this weekend in Darlington.
Yeah, and one last thing. We're going to toss this bet out here. If you go to DK, you can still bet Cup Futures, so for the championship. And Tyler Reddick is still going off at 15-1 to win. I'm not sure why. Not sure why that's the case.
Is he the lowest?
No, he's not the lowest. Austin Dillon is 80-1. Cindric is 70-1.
Okay.
Briscoe's 40-1, which seems a little high to me. Bowman at 35, he shouldn't be there, sorry. But yeah, Tyler Reddick at 15-1 is interesting. So this is my pick at this point of the year.
I like that.
Bet to win the championship. Here's why. He runs well at Darlington. Okay, he finished second here in May. Even if he doesn't, he did win the Bristol Dirt Race. Now, it was a dirt race, but still, same banking on that track, whatnot. He does run well at Kansas. So there are multiple opportunities for him in the first round. Texas is anybody's guess, because I have no idea how that's going to race. Then you get Talladega, which is a wild card. And then you get a road course, which, by the way, Tyler Reddick's now won two road courses this year. Okay. Then in round three, you get Vegas. He's okay there. But Homestead, he should absolutely be the favorite to win that race. The Dixie Vodka 400 in October at Homestead, that should be an absolute just melee of a race for him. And then he makes it to Phoenix, and who knows?
Yeah, Phoenix is kind of anyone's game, too. Like, once you all you got to do is be in the top four and get to Phoenix, and right. I like it. Man, you know what? Put money on Tyler Reddick right now before you play my DraftKings lineup. I will tell you that right now. I like that. I did get Blaney in before he qualified for the playoffs, too. I'm going to go put some money on Reddick. Actually, I'm actually doing that as we speak.
Yeah, by
right
the
now.
Way, is Blaney actually shorter odds than...
No,
Blaney is shorter odds than Tyler Reddick to win the championship.
Yeah.
Blaney is 10-1.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I got him at 14-1.
Okay, that's still shorter than Reddick at 15-1.
I'm about to have Reddick at 15-1, too. Right now.
Like,
and it's in.
Like, I don't know. I think that's a misprice to me.
But. I agree. I just did it. I'm with you, man. It's all on. It's on. I got it. Win me some money like you always do, man.
Alrighty. Well, hopefully it hits. So, with that.
If not, I hope it's Blaney then. How about that?
I swear to God, if this guy goes like on a Tony Stewart run in the playoffs, where Tony Stewart eked his way into the points, like the first year of the playoffs or something, and then won 5 of the 10 playoff races.
Blaney's gonna not win a single race until Phoenix to win the championship. Watch.
He's gonna pull off a Daniel Hemric, is what he's
yeah.
Hemric did that in Xfinity last year.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? All right, man. Let's call it. I love it. Win some money, everybody. Thank you for having me on, man. I think I'm coming on in a few weeks as well. Yes. So I'll be along the ride with all you guys. So enjoy.
Yep. Good luck, FA Nation, and we'll see you in the green.